Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, your host. Now, every month during the year, year 2020, I would give you topics of community concerns under the title Nuggets of Wisdom, N-O-W. Well, now is the time. In the midst of this pandemic virus, COVID-19, or over it is 19, we as a community must look out for our most vulnerable population, like the seniors and the homeless. Remember the quote from the book of James: pure religion undefiled by God and the Father is this, that you look after the widows and the orphans in their times of trouble and keep yourself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. Our topic for this Nuggets of Wisdom is boosting your immune system for spiritual warfare.
Now, first of all, I want to say to the community, stay safe, keep the family and your loved ones safe. Don't take any unnecessary chances. Be patient and this will pass. All of us will have to adapt to a new way of doing things. Now, here are a few things that you can do to help build up your immune system. Make sure that these five things is a regular part of your diet and your family. Garlic, lemon, oatmeal, herbal tea, and water. Now, I'm going to read just a little quick thing from the cookbook, Nubian Delight, about the importance of garlic. It said garlic contains many sulfur compounds. These sulfur compounds kill bacteria, fungi, and viruses. So garlic is very important. Honey has a healing ingredient. And I want to read one more thing about oatmeal, and that's from the Health-Filled Food book, Back to Eden by Jethro Klotz. Klotz said that oatmeal, if combined with other food, has to prevent congestions and the formation of toxins and acid due to the acid reaction, would do more to prevent contagious disease than all of the serums thus far invented or that will ever be. Oatmeal is neither artificial nor a substitute. It is a natural agent for the supply of those elements which by their antiseptic properties make contagious infection impossible. And that's from the book Back to Eden by Jethro Klotz. Take care of yourself. This is something that make sure for the community members, this is a regular bar that you got up in your closet. You got that honey, you can use that instead of sugar. That oatmeal, you know how we come up on that oatmeal. I'm not talking about that little instant pack oatmeal, I'm talking about the steel grade oatmeal. And then definitely garlic, you know. If you feel yourself having little symptoms of a cold or something, take some garlic and put it in your chicken soup. Make that a regular passing on to the young ones. Stay healthy and build up that immune system out there.
I want to mention what I talked about early. During the time of this virus, look, make sure you take care of yourself, right? Follow all these rules that they laying out until we find out what's really happening. But what you can do for yourself and your family now, I mentioned it earlier, make sure that you have these five things as part of your everyday life. Make them a part of it. Garlic, honey, right? Oatmeal, herbal tea, and water. Those are the five things. You work them however you want to work them into your everyday life for your family. It will help fight diseases, virus, and boost the immune system. Now, I want to mention five books that I want you to pick up and read that have a lot of this history in them. The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. This is one that deals with the origins of all of these rituals and the meanings of The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Stolen Legacy by George G. M. James. And the final book is called The Invention of the White Race by Dr. Theodore Allen. Get your hand on those and read them. I think you would love.
Go ahead.
When I think about the question you asked, so what does the story of Nicodemus mean for our pluralistic, multi-culture, multi-faith world? And, you know, I think about three points. First point, the whole, he talked about being born again. I think that's one of the central points of the teachings of the Messiah Jesus, what I call the science of spiritual realization. And what Jesus was teaching Nicodemus here is the fact of realizing, yeah, that's what he's talking about with the being born again. The first birth is when you come through your mother's womb and that individual spirit, right, identifies with the physical material world. But somewhere down the line, that individual spirit, especially if he's studying the scripture, etc., like that, realize that he's a spiritual being. And that is what the Messiah Jesus was talking about with this new birth, the good news. And with that realization comes something else Messiah Jesus was talking about in this particular chapter, is he was giving us the nature, the attributes of God, the life-giving creative spirit, so we would understand it when he compared it to the wind. You know, you can't see the wind, but you can feel the wind. And then when you by giving us the attributes of God, the life-giving creative spirit, and this particular being realizing that they are a spiritual being instead of the physical material world at first birth, then the fact that we are made in the spiritual likeness of God, the life-giving creative spirit, which we know that God, the life-giving creative spirit, is an eternal being. So this means that we, as spiritual, I mean, we are also eternal being. You know, death is just a transition. So that's the good news that the Messiah Jesus was talking about. The other thing that come into play when I look at this particular gospel is the environment that made Nicodemus approach Jesus at night. And I think this is very important in understanding the whole history of Jesus, because the Messiah Jesus lived his entire life on earth in an occupied situation, you know, from 63 BC when Pompey occupied Judea, and then at the same time, this produced a resistant movement called the Zealots, who wouldn't compromise because they know Rome was a polytheistic theology that they had, and it just didn't fit in with Judaism, which was
monotheists and worship of one God. And so this environment was a lot going on. It was, they would have been the terrorists of the day, you know, trying to bring down the occupied, Rome in terms of occupied. And then you got to remember that they also had a history, a recent history of the Hasmonean, the Maccabees, who also led a rebellion against the polytheistic Greek that had influenced the Messiah Jesus. So Nicodemus, who no doubt in my mind was a secret disciple of Jesus, as the scriptures say, so was Joseph of Arimathea, Lazarus, a lot of others who were people who had money, you would say, resources during their time. They was in the upper class, but they followed the teachings of Jesus, couldn't do it openly. So those are the three main points when we talk about Jesus. We got to talk about him. So many people want to talk about Jesus without bringing in the fact that there was an underground movement going on. You know, there was an underground war trying to overthrow the whole Roman Empire. That's what led to the temple being destroyed in 70 AD. And that must be discussed. That must be taken into context, because that had a lot to do with all of these gospels, the various differences in them, even though they still had the similarities, because the center point of all these numerous gospels that they had was the teachings of the Messiah Jesus. It's just people looked at it different, but at the center point was still the teachings of the Messiah Jesus. And one more point, Jesus used the whole concept of the story of Job to show, you know, Job symbolizing the word of God, and how God put protection around the word. So God protects that word. You know, it's everything that comes through the mind of me as a physical material world, they can change that. But when you pick up that scripture, you see that they can't change the words of Jesus, and they can't change the words of the prophets. They can change the words of the commentaries, who's making comments on these particular prophets of the Messiah. But those words, the words of Jesus or the words of the prophets, the satanic forces, you know, just have no power over them.